tightly dividing the word of truth. And so what you do is you basically learn as you start to read your Bible that not all the Bible is written to you. Illustration back in the Old Testament are the sacrifices. Does anybody here offer up a bullock, a lamb, or anything that God did instruct people to offer up? This isn't some figment of my imagination that God did. If you read Leviticus, they were into blood sacrifices. And I've had everybody say, well, that changed with Jesus Christ. And I said, okay, that's great. That means you are a dispensationalist. You understand? Something changed. God didn't change. God's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. But the realization is his program changed. Why? Something interrupted the program. Well, that interruption was the Lord Jesus Christ. That changed. And welcome back. How was your fourth?
My which?
Your fourth?
My fourth was
okay. It was funny. My fourth was quiet until I thought we were getting bombed by Iraq. I was taking my nap, and I slept a little bit long, and they sent off, and we had like four shows. And it didn't stop until about 10 o'clock that
it's
night.
It's disgusting.
I mean, they were...
You're good.
These dogs went nuts.
Anyway, so the Old Testament in Leviticus, they offered blood sacrifices. Well, most people say, well, that changed when Jesus Christ came. Well, what does that prove? That they are dispensationalists. So then you've got to go to the next step and understand... Basically, there are two programs running, really, before the Apostle Paul. And here's the saving of the Apostle Paul. I'm going to put Acts chapter 9. That was before here, and all of that had to do with prophecy. And what God had, and what prophets had said. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophecies were things that God was revealing to the nation of Israel through His prophets. And so what people don't understand is God started another program called the mystery, and that mystery is what we live in. It's called the dispensation of grace. And so when it says study to show thyself, we're in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself. Well, you are late, Bob. Did you stop by and pick something up?
Tennessee's a long way to run.
See, now Andy didn't bring anything good in, I don't think, so he gets a demerit, but you brought something.
My good wishes.
Oh, well, that's good. I like good wishes. That's good. So you got prophecy and mystery program, and that's really how you divide the Word of God. What was according to a mystery, and what was according to prophecy? And that whole thing is where the conflict of everybody who's trying to stick with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, go to Galatians. I'm going to walk through the first part of what I would do every time I sat down with somebody with the Word of God. Because I think it's important. By the way, if anybody would like to text me a question that's not hard. If it's really hard, I'm going to let Dave over here, the man, the myth, the legend, take care of it for me. I got to get me one of those t-shirts that say Barry.
Yeah.
I love that. I'd wear it too. Oh, I would have to add one thing. The man, the myth, the legend, and the prophet. You know what I mean? Those people, they're so funny. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. No, you're not actually following a prophet. A prophet would be found under what?
Prophecy.
A mystery is something that was hidden. I'm teaching the mystery. They must have prophets running around. I don't have those. But look at this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, but I certify you. That's kind of like saying, I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. I certify you.
Certified mail.
Exactly. You know that it was delivered. Mm-hmm. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Wow. Now, what is he talking about, not after man? It wasn't given to us by prophets. It wasn't given by Peter. It wasn't given by James or Bartholomew or any of those guys. It wasn't given by man. There isn't a man that could have delivered it onto him. You got it? And he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Did he get it from Gamaliel? He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. No. But by the revelation of who?
Jesus Christ.
Well, the soonest that could have been in time, in history, is Acts chapter 9. So all this stuff clicking away here, all this time, Paul, this is the very first place, in human history. It doesn't matter. Say, well, I'm emotional. Well, look at Acts chapter 8. No way could it have been any sooner. So we're talking mystery program versus prophecy program. You with me? Hey, look. It's a live baby doll, Curtis. You're going to have one of those pretty soon. In Acts chapter 8, now watch this. Now you all know that the Apostle Paul's name wasn't always Paul. His name was Saul. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen's death of chapter 7. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Notice it did not say Christians.
Amen.
Boy, thank you. They didn't say Christian, because these were not Christians. They were Jewish believers. They believed in the kingdom. They believed in the promises. They believed in these prophecies. That's what they were going by. Their whole life was wrapped up in that. And he says, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Now, there was such a persecution that what happened to all the Jewish believers? They fled. They left the area. People say, why do they go and preach in all the world? Guess where they went? In all the world. And so for him to gather them back, guess where he has to send the gospel? The whole world. Thus, the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Well, the gospel that they're preaching is the gospel according to this prophecy. That's what they're going to be preaching. They're not preaching this mystery. You got it? They're preaching a prophecy, and I'm going to show you that as we go down through this. In Acts chapter 9, go to Acts chapter 9. Gazoon tie? What? Is that a Mennonite thing? A Dutch thing. I thought it was Dutch, not German. Gazoon is German. Acts chapter 9. Alright. Starting verse. Well, I'm just going to read verse 1 all the way down. And Saul yet, brethren, breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired to him. Now notice who he's connected to. The high priest. He has the right, Saul has the right to enter in to go chit-chat with the high priest. Not everybody had that right. I mean, he's way up in the hierarchy. He's walking in and he's getting papers so he can go arrest these people. And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way... Well, they couldn't be... Is that mine?
Yeah. Ordered by Karen.
Oh. Thank you.
The people of the way is what we're talking about.
Yes, the people of that way. That way, or this way, it says, has to do with all the prophecies that they believe is being fulfilled. And Paul's out there killing them. At verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell from the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Well, I believe he probably received the gospel right there. But if not, he got it later when the scales fell off. And later in the passage when Ananias went by. Nevertheless, it couldn't be before that time. It couldn't be in 8. It couldn't be in 7. It couldn't be in 6. It would have been at least the minimum 9. You with me? It's minimal. So it doesn't really matter how emotional. He didn't get this gospel from man. So he didn't get it from the 12. Peter didn't show up and say, hey, let me tell you all about it. Welcome into the fold. What is the point of Paul? I mean, come on. God's chosen people, there are 12 men, 12 tribes, 12 thrones, 12 gates, 12 months. They got it covered. There is nothing logically for another man to just show up out of the blue. What is one man going to make a difference to what these 12 men that spent 3.5 years with the Lord can't do? I mean, what's the point? I mean, I want you to think about it. What is the absolute point of one man showing up when they got 12 men that were trained by the Lord Himself, and then all of a sudden God saves one more? Why do they need one more? Do you see? There's no logical sense for that to happen. There is no... I mean, you can't add any logic to that and go, oh, well, he did this or because of that. Baloney. They already cast his lots and they got Matthias. They had 12, and the Holy Spirit confirms that. Look in Acts chapter 2. He isn't even qualified under this to be one of the 12. In Acts chapter 1, now I'm going to read this backwards. I'll probably read half of the stuff I read backwards, but when we go to read this, I want you to read what happened and what the requirements was. And Paul did not fit. There's no way that Paul could have been one of the 12. Y'all with me? No way. So in Acts chapter 1, read with me if you will, in verse 23. Now I'm going to come back up and read a little bit after I read this. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barabbas, whose surname was Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show us whether of these two Thou hast chosen, that he may be part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lots fell upon who?
Matthias.
Now, I want you to come back up, though. There was a requirement for these two people to have. Paul never fit any of these. Look at verse 21. Wherefore, of these men, which accompanied with us all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out from among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his what?
Resurrection.
Paul didn't even fit that. There was no way Paul was qualified. And so look how well and elegant the Holy Spirit did. Go to Acts chapter 2. I mean, the Holy Spirit never makes a mistake. Now, I can make mistakes. You can make mistakes. We can be deceived. All that. But the Word of God is not a mistake. Look at the wording here and the perfection that God put in here. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the... How many does that make?
Well.
The Holy Spirit counted Matthias in with him. You see that? It wasn't Paul. It was not Paul. Go to Romans 16. And these are verses you're familiar with, and I know that. It doesn't hurt to reiterate them and take them in a pattern. See, I'm hoping you're writing these down. Now, I mean, you could go write down this and think about it and study it and meditate when you're driving down the... Well, don't... text or anything like that. But you can think on scriptures while you're driving. I do all the time. Of course, I get flipped off a couple times. It's not always safe. Here's the key. Don't close your eyes when you pray. Romans 16, verse 25, verse that we're all familiar with. But look at it again. I just want you to look at it in the light of where we are. And then I'm going to start discussing the issues between the two. Now, to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel... Hey, by the way, Chapin, is your dad able to get on tonight?
Some other deal.
I was going to shout out at him. Say hello.
Well, he didn't make it tonight. I got an uncle from Michigan that's down there, so...
Oh, they should have both been watching. That would have been quite a conversation.
I tried to make it happen, but it didn't work.
You know, an old black man once told me, sometimes it just bees that way. verse 25. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel?
Both.
Paul's gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was what? Now, guys, this is not complicated. You're new at this. Right, Mom? What does kept secret mean to you?
Not revealed.
Not revealed. It wasn't part of prophecy. It could be a mystery, but it's been kept secret. When was it kept secret? The Old Testament? How about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? How about the first part of the book of Acts?
Yep.
It was kept secret from this point to this point. Now, I'm not real smart. But if the gospel that Paul preached had been kept secret, how did they teach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? How did Peter preach it?
Good.
You know, how... I mean, that there's a physical impossibility. You can't squeeze that time. I mean, this is a timeline. Time is, as they say, ticking away. I've got too much time on my hands. Okay, you guys are right. It's not hard to know. That would have made a lot more sense for anybody who knew the song. Huh?
Trust.
You got that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, you were acting self-righteous. I don't listen to rock and roll.
Camera's on.
Huh?
Camera's on. I'm going to act self-righteous.
Oh, excuse me. It was kept secret. Well, if it was kept secret, Joe Lynn, was it kept secret in the Old Testament, yes or no? It was kept secret from here to here. Was it, yes or no? How about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Miss Rhoda? Lisa, Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. It was kept secret. You got it? Now, you can say whatever you want. You can say that they're the same gospel, but there becomes a dilemma in that. Because remember, one's dealing with a what? Prophecy, and one's dealing with a kingdom. Or a mystery. A prophecy in the kingdom, and the mystery in the Bible. So look, if you will, in Daniel. We never use these books. Daniel chapter 2. It's on page 8 now. Daniel chapter 2. What? I don't think so. Now watch this. This is Daniel is a what? He's one of the prophets. And by the way, one of the most powerful prophecies in the Bible is Daniel chapter 9. And if you want a detail, go to my website and follow that teaching on the 20 hours of prophecy. And by the way, Wayne is putting stuff so you can get it on your iPhone. And do not travel down the road if you're by yourself listening. It'll get you so excited you might cause an accident. Disclaimer, I'm sorry. Acts 2 verse 44, now watch this. In the day of these kings shall God of heaven set up a
kingdom.
You got that? You need to underline that word, kingdom. Which shall never be destroyed, and I would put Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7 right by that if I was a Bible student and had my godly Bible pen. And here's the other trick to this prophecy. And here's the other part of this prophecy. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Why? Who's it for?
Israel.
Israel. But it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Did they plan for a kingdom to be established?
Absolutely.
Isn't that fascinating, isn't it?
This is talking about Israel.
Yeah, go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew. That's in the New Testament, they say. But you know it's not, right? The testator hadn't died.
The New Testament hadn't happened yet.
That's exactly right. But that's okay if you call it the New Testament, I'll be okay with that. In Matthew chapter 6, look at the Lord's Prayer and what He's praying for. Verse 9. After this manner pray, ye our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The kingdom is going to come down here on earth, and the throne will be set and established.
Was that Daniel that said about the kingdom?
Yeah, Daniel 2. And look at Peter's attitude. He's not, hey, like, when are we going to heaven? Look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And look at Peter. In verse 6, the very last question. If you're going to ask the Lord the last question of life, what were you going to... I mean, this is an important question. In Acts chapter 1, before the Lord ascends up into heaven, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will Thou at this time restore the kingdom to the world? No, it said to who? Israel, those 12 tribes. That's fascinating, isn't it? There's a few fascinating things about this. Go, if you will, to Revelation Give me just a minute here. Verse 10. Revelation 21, verse 10. What? I'm glad you're here, Bob. Where's your wife?
She's got to get up to her.
Okay. Me too. Tell her I know how she feels. Now watch this. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me a great city, and the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had how many gates?
12.
That's interesting, isn't it? That number 12 just keeps coming up, doesn't it?
For Israel.
Yeah. Beverly, you are such an additive to this Bible class. Yes, for Israel. And the names written thereon, and the names were the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I mean, this stuff is not hard, guys. And the east, 3 gates. And on the north, 3 gates. And on the south, 3 gates. I mean, are you getting this picture? Guess where this... You ever heard that song? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, that thing coming down from heaven is for the 12 tribes, and it was part of this prophecy. They were expecting it. They're anticipating it. But you know what? Paul, not one time, mentions the new city, the kingdom, and that life. That's weird, isn't it? You know what he mentions? He mentions a body. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 12. I mean, this is kind of strange. Paul is your apostle. Paul has got information that was a mystery. One part of the prophecy program. And until you get that right in your mind, it doesn't matter what you're going to say. Because you may be taking something out of the kingdom or the prophecy and applying it to the mystery and vice versa. And that's what most religion does. In 1 Corinthians 12, look if you will, in verse 12. Wherefore, as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is what? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It never mentioned in the Old Testament, not one time, about a body. That terminology is used only in the sense of the body of Christ. Not one time in the prophecy program. Now that's, if they're the same program, that's a little weird. I mean, that's just a little bit on the strange side, if you think about it. All these prophecies, and they're all talking the same terminology. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All these guys are talking the same terminology. And then Paul comes along, saved outside of the 12. And he's talking all of a sudden body stuff and not a kingdom. He didn't say prepared to go into the kingdom. Do you know what he would tell you to do to prepare to go into the kingdom? Find a Jew and bless him. Not one time, he wrote half the New Testament. 13 books, not one time did he mention it. Do you realize that they mentioned it all the time back here? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The Syrophoenician woman was an example. Matthew 25, when he talks about, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and thirsty and fed thee and gave thee? Well, you've done it to one of the least of these my brothers, you've done it unto me. I mean, it's all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John what the Gentiles were to do. But the apostle to the Gentile, not one single time, not one time, this is strange, mentions anything about that. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see that? I mean, he isn't talking the kingdom, he's talking a body. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in Him, in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Again, nothing to do with a kingdom. Over here, the prophecy has to do with what? Kingdom. Over here, this truth has to do with what?
The body.
So the prophecy deals with the kingdom, the mystery deals with the body. Yes?
Why would that show up in the book of Hebrews?
What?
The term body.
Well, he uses it as a general term of like church. Not he didn't say like the body of Christ. You know what I'm saying?
There is a distinction there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the term body of Christ, and that's why, by the way, some people think... that's why some people thought Paul wrote Hebrews. There's so many other things that just acknowledge that that's not the case. Notice that this kingdom, these people aren't dying and going to heaven. Everybody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that believes in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when they die, here's the thing, they're not going to heaven.
He couldn't because Christ hadn't died yet.
No. Even if he had died, they're not going to heaven. Why? Go to Jeremiah. That's exactly right. Go to Jeremiah, and if you can't find it, get Dave to turn your pages. In Jeremiah 23, I got my buddy from, hopefully he's on, from Bowling Green.
Oh,
Albert Goff is watching tonight. He said he's threatened to actually come down and visit us. He enjoyed, he said he heard last week. He said, wow. He said, you were quite enthusiastic. That's me, you know. The ever ready battery. Funny. Now watch. Are y'all in Jeremiah 23?
Mm-hmm.
Read with me in verse 5. Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, a king, and shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and justice where?
In the earth.
Not in heaven, guys. In the earth. That kingdom was going to be established on earth. But look at the body. Look at the difference. Look in Ephesians. You may want to write Ephesians there and compare it. And then turn to Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to be a great Bible student. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. I'm there. Y'all there? It's so much fun marking up your Bible, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I need a new one already.
What?
Why would I need a new one?
And those notes will become valuable to you. I still have all the Bibles I have. I can't read any of the notes from the first one. It didn't make any sense.
That's kind of the way this is good.
Yeah, but it will... And you know what it does? It helps you find things. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, yeah, I know where that is. I marked it. It's up in the left-hand corner. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 1, y'all there?
Yep.
Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where?
In
heavenly places. Hey, we're not going to be on this planet. We're leaving the planet.
I'm already there.
Amen? The hope isn't being established here. In fact, look at the attitude. This always gets me. You know, say, well, I'm not sure I'm eternally secure. Well, look at Ephesians chapter 2. I mean, this would be hard not to be eternally secure. Ephesians chapter 2, y'all with me? Verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together. Going to make us?
Made.
Have made us. Made. Past tense. Made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see that? You're already seated. If you're saved here this evening, listen to me. Or you're watching on the internet and you're saved, you're already seated in heavenly places. You know what you're waiting for? The redemption of this vile body.
Amen.
That's all you're waiting on. Hey, I'm not wondering whether I'm going to get to heaven. I'm already there. You're talking about peace? I mean, that brings about peace. Look in Colossians.
They want to keep working for it.
Well, they'll never make it. That's the problem. And so our job is cut out. And you can't give up on them. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you? If you're saved, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Why? The earth is going to become whose?
Israel's.
No, it's promised to us. Don't get your hope. Hey, look around at all this stuff. Everything you see, you're going to lose. This ain't your home.
The sooner the better.
Amen. Oh. Amen on that. Now watch verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where are you guys?
In God.
You're in God in heaven.
Wow.
And you know what? You can say whatever you want, but the body truth doesn't deal with any earthly kingdom or physical inheritance of anything upon this planet earth. But you know what? Somebody's going to get it. Now the other distinct thing is in look in Isaiah 9. Go to Isaiah 9. You know where Daniel is? Back up the book. Go to Isaiah 9. Israel is promised a king. Are we here? A kingdom has to have a king. That's fascinating, isn't it? Guess what a body means?
Head.
That's fascinating, isn't it? There's no mistake in the terminology that God used in the King James Bible to show. There is. Listen, I've been at this for about 30 years, guys. And I'm not real smart. But I can tell you this for a fact. There is no way that a human could have written this book by himself. There's no way. There's too many little, like the faith of and the faith in. Mm-hmm. Those intricacies a author would have missed. Should I look the message up, Lord? Okay. I know it just happened. An email just left. I'm sending emails while preaching. I mean, is this not the most multitasking person you've ever met? I mean, it's almost... You know, I have to look in the mirror sometimes and say, wow, that's amazing.
There's none good.
Oh, you guys quit it. You guys are starting to sound like a prophet, Barry. I'm trying to sound a little more like the Mennonites. Don't come near on the Nephi. I'm holier than that. Isaiah 65, verse 5. Where did I tell you to go? Verse 9. Isaiah 9. You guys got me flustered now. Quit it. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Hey, it's a hint. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government, there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And he says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it, and the Lord on and on. Now, guys, he is going to be the king, and he's setting up this kingdom, and he's going to rule. Make no mistake about it. That's over in that 1,000 years. It is going to happen. Is the church, the body of Christ, going to stop him?
No.
No, it's still going to happen whether we like it or not. Notice, though, in Ephesians, look in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at the difference. Rightly dividing. You know, things that are different are not the same. There's a reason that God put them in different. But listen, everybody take a deep breath. You know what? The Word of God means exactly what it's going to mean 2,000 years from now.
Amen.
Whether I've got it right or wrong. Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all there? 19? Well, I want to come down a little bit. Well, starting 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised up him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the... Not king. Head. I know how you feel. That's exactly right. Amen. That was his first amen. And he had gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hey, Paul is talking about a body and a mystery. Not only that, notice about the kingdom. The kingdom was planned since the world began. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 1. Luke, I am your father. Little Star Wars there to help you find it. Luke chapter 1. I guess most people can't have fun at church. It's okay for us to have fun, amen? Bob, if we get going too much fun, though, you'd slow us down, wouldn't you? No, you probably just went in.
Shut up.
Now watch this. I'm going to start in verse 68. Luke 1, 68. Blessed be the God and Father of who? Israel, you see that? You guys got to watch these words. It didn't say the world. He came to Israel. And for he had visited and redeemed his people. And I would put Zechariah 13, verse 1, which was the promise. Isaiah 53, verse 6, was part of the promise. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, was part of the promise. All of those. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. Now watch this. Verse 69. And raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And watch, as he spake by the mouth of his holy what?
Prophets.
Well, what are we talking about back here? Prophecy, aren't we? Who would be giving out prophecies? Prophets. Watch. Which he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began. When did that prophecy start? Since the world began. There's the beginning of the world. So these prophecies started after the world began. Amen?
Amen.
So all of this about the prophecy was all in the Old Testament, and all that places there. And it was since the world began. You got it? That's easy enough, right? Well, look at Acts 3:21. This is after the cross. Notice the terminology again. You know, guys, this is almost amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like it's just one little thing. It just keeps piling up. To some point, you got to say, you know what? There's something unique about Paul's message. Somewhere, you have to stop and say, you know, there's a little bit something strange going on in this Bible that I hadn't seen before. Sooner you acknowledge it, by the way, the sooner you can get saved. Verse 21. Well, I'm going to start in verse 19. Is that okay? He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." You know what Paul says?
Are
blotted out. Our sins are gone, guys. And the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Second coming, Zechariah 13, just like it's been prophesied. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy
prophets.
You ought to underline that. Since the world began. When did it happen?
Since the world began.
Since the world began. That means the world began first. And then the prophecy started coming. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Anybody have a problem with that? Well, notice that Paul, what he preached, was a little bit different. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. Mike just wrote in from Wisconsin. Are you saying the Great Commission is actually Israel's call to gather, regather in Ezekiel? Mike, yes. You know, that's all part of that kingdom prophecy. Technology. Mike, I'm glad you're watching tonight. I appreciate you joining us. We got the girls supposed to be watching in Minnesota. My sister and I think Albert is watching. How many we got on?
10.
All over the nation. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Carlton. I appreciate all his hard work on that. Y'all give Carlton a big hand.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that, actually. I mean, it's such an important part of it all. And he sits back and is quiet, and you don't get much recognition, but he sets up and does everything. So. All right, look in, did I tell you 2 Timothy?
Yeah.
Chapter 1, look if you will in verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Alright, so what Paul got in the mystery was not since the world began, but before the world began. Well, how can those be two of the same messages? I mean, if that's the same message, then God doesn't have a clue what's going on. Amen? Andy, you with me, brother?
Yeah.
I mean, it either means what it says, or it doesn't mean anything at all. Before the world began, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Look in Ephesians chapter 1.
It's gooder every time.
It's gooder. It's gooder. Verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Now watch this. According as he has chosen... Hey, this is great stuff for the funeral, Curtis. Smart man. According as he has chosen us in him, where? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You realize that I'm holy and without blame before God right now?
Amen.
God isn't looking down at me and saying, boy, you know that old Barry, he's a rascal. He's been out doing this, that, and that, and I've kept a list of it. He sees me before the foundation of the world, then I'm holy and without blame before him in love. That is amazing. I want to emphasize, do you realize, and I'm going to give you the gospel along with this, but I want you to think about it. Before it all got started, way before the earth, God Almighty and God the Holy Spirit and God the Son got together and said, I want these people out here in Kentucky. And I want to save them, but there is no way I can touch them. They're seers. And so, God the Son said, well, there is a way, you know, if I went to die for their sins, then I could cover them with my blood. Now, the problem then is, how would they know? And the Holy Spirit would come down and teach and preach to Paul the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So before the foundation of the world, I want you to understand the reason he spoke the entire world into existence was that you were on his mind. He allowed Adam to come into this world and fall. You know why? It wasn't Adam he was trying to get. You are the sole objects of God's love. You are the optimum thing that will give him the glory for all eternity. And none of Israel could have done that. None of the prophets could have done that. But someone as sorry and as lousy and as filthy and as foul as David is, if he saved him, that would give God the glory. Now think about that. So he started the whole thing with you on his mind. And it was planned, the Bible said, before. Now, all this has been since. Not your salvation. It was before the existence of the planet Earth. You were on his mind. People say, well, how important are you? I would tell you that you're probably the most important thing, and your faithfulness to the truth is what the work is all about. People want to know what the work is? It isn't about whether you smoke, drink, or play cards. I mean, I could make a case of caffeine as a drug. I mean, where are you going to stop? That's not the issue. The issue is, are you defending the faith? Are you out there contending for the faith? Are you out there talking to your loved ones about the faith? And you know what? When you give up, Satan wins.
Amen.
You can't give up. Say, well, it's going to get bloody. Yep. People are not going to like you. Yep. In fact, let me read you a verse, just a minute. Go to 2 Timothy.
They don't like it.
look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is just what happens, boys and girls. You start showing this truth and you start sharing it, you are going to become a target. And you know why? Listen, this is why. Verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 3, verse 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what?
Persecution.
Wear your covering, you won't get persecuted. You see what I'm saying? You stand on the righteousness of God, you're going to get persecution. Jason, you with me, brother? Curtis once told me, he says, if this was so easy, if it was easy, you wouldn't be sitting here yelling at me when he was trying to witness to Elwood and to Larry's dad. Why are they always attacking? You see, you never persecuted them. You're just showing Bible they're mad. Well, that's when this starts happening, you start to realize. Go to Titus. Titus chapter 1, and if this doesn't bear it all out, then I guess it ain't going to bear out. Your salvation was before the foundation of the world. Well, I have no idea where I'm going.
Titus 1.
Thank you. Titus 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised.
Before the world began.
When? Before the world began. He didn't promise it after you believed. He already had that plan. He was going to die for all of your sins. There was nothing left to do. You were going to have eternal life the moment. That's why you could be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It was all planned before the foundation of the world. That's powerful, isn't it? I mean, you can say whatever you want. Look, if you will, in Isaiah 60. You know, we don't use the Old Testament much. How many can find the Old Testament better than they ever have? See if you got this out of it. Look in Isaiah 60, verse 10. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls. They're going to bless the Jews. You see that verse 10? And their kings shall minister unto thee, and in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I... Hang on just a second, that's weird stuff. I wish the doctor could find out what this is. You guys study hard. I don't know how long you got with me. You guys need to study and pay attention to this book. Because you guys are going to take over when I'm dead. Okay? So don't play with it. I'm going to play with it. Let's not do this.
This ain't playing. This is good stuff.
I smote thee, but in my favor have I mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, and they shall not be shut day or night, and the men shall bring the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nations and kingdom that will not serve thee shall what? They're going to be over the nations. Make no mistake, that's the deal. So these people are going to rule over the nation.
What's that, Gentiles?
Plural, nations. Huh? You got it? That's going to be over in the tribulation. That's what's... It just takes a minute. It's really amazing. thought 51 and 52 was going to be like this. Prepare, you men. It gets worse when you're older. When I was 23, I thought, man, I'm going to live to 80. I'm going to be unbelievable. You may not live to 80, so you better prepare. Dad says, I asked him, he turned 80. And I said, how's 80? He said, buddy boy, it ain't for sissies. So that's probably 55. All right. Where was I? The body truth. Watch this. In the body truth, you could have saved that. I mean, Israel definitely had a preeminence in that kingdom over the Gentiles. What are you doing? You're scaring me.
Taking hold of the skirt of Jude.
Yeah. Galatians chapter 3. Yes, I do. Zechariah 8:22. Well, your contract starts in 22. I'd put you from 22 down. Galatians chapter 3. But look at you. There is no way you can make this statement. Well, don't you look nice tonight? There must be a boyfriend in the house.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not here.
We're going to send him to the ring for the next 30 minutes. I had a plan.
No, he
did he really? That stinker. All right. Oh, we're in Galatians chapter 3. We're glad you're here. Galatians chapter 3. Now watch this, verse 28. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. You got that? There's neither Jew nor Greek. But there is Jews and Greek in that kingdom. Did y'all see that before?
Yeah.
So what would I put there? Isaiah 60, 10 through 12, and Zechariah 8, 22 and 23.
What was that again?
Repeat it. The repeat costs $29.95. Isaiah 60, 10, 11, and 12. And Zechariah 8, verse 22 and 23. Now, guys, listen, make no mistake. In the body of Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. And by the way, a stupid question, what happens if a Jew came to a class?
Okay.
Well, my goodness, they'd get saved just like we get saved.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in the mystery program, it's for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Would that include a Jew?
Yeah.
How about a homosexual?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How about a drug addict? Anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. It isn't like you have to go and be somebody or do something or bless somebody or confess something. It's already done.
Amen.
So, look if you will in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, on the same line. Ephesians 2. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Did he gather both Jew and Gentile together? Yes, he did. Now, watch this. This is very, very fascinating. Fascinating. Can you say fascinating? The Gentiles' blessings. All the way through the Bible, it matters not where you go except in Paul's epistles. All come through Israel. All of them. Israel is the way that God blesses the world if He gets blessed at all. Thus, what they're doing to Israel and treating them the way they are, of course, we're not in that time yet. But after we leave, that will actually continue. Promise you. And it'll actually get worse. They will belittle and attack. I can guarantee you, Iran will lob a nuclear bomb at Israel. And you're going to see it break out. And then the Antichrist, who was ever talking about 2 Thessalonians, will come in there and stop all that and make a new covenant between them. And when he goes and stands in the holy place right there, 3.5 years before the Lord returns and claims himself to be God, they're to flee into the mountains, Israel. And the Gentiles have to take care of them in order to have a hope. Make no mistake. I mean, think about it for just a minute. If we believe that there was all one gospel, and everybody got to the end, and I think the Mennonites believe in a catching out, right? And the catching out, and then the rest go to where? Hell. Then why would all this be in there?
Exactly.
What would be the point of that? It would just come to an end. It didn't come to an end. So if they believe the same gospel we believe, it would all be over. Unless God has a different program set up for Israel.
They do believe most of them that it would just be over.
Huh?
Most of them do believe it'll just be over.
I know, but then you got to explain Hebrews through Revelation in this kingdom that they've been talking about all throughout the Bible. But it hasn't. You know why? There's no sin in that kingdom. Well, I know that's not true of the one they're walking around in. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact. Oh, you sat up front to hate yourself. You too. No, I wasn't talking to her. I was talking to you. Go to Genesis chapter 12, a verse you guys know well. In Genesis chapter 12, read with me in verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I'll make thy name great. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And that's the way it is. All the way through the Bible under the prophecy program. If you're a Gentile, you'd have to bless Israel. And there's examples after examples, which we've gone over. I'm not going to wear it out. That's just a fact. And you can't find it any different. That's what God said. But look at our blessings. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 3. Look what Paul said. Ephesians chapter 3. Is my wife on?
I don't know.
Oh. Honey, I love you, baby. Aren't you glad you're not married to a divorced man? You're my only squeeze. I'm so crazy about you, I could do flips if I could do flips. I ain't trying to do any flips, though. There's a few things you realize that you shouldn't do at 50. One of them are flips. Ephesians chapter 3. Y'all there?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are getting faster at this, aren't you? We can get a lot more verses in if you turn quicker. No? Right? Mm-hmm. That the Gentiles should be fellow. You know, when I stop and talk about Brenda, she says, you're doing so good, too. She doesn't like me to talk about it. Honey, if you're listening, text me. I'll know whether you're really listening. Sometimes she turns it off. Oh, she's listening. Good. Don't try flips. You got it. Why would a man want anything other than my wife? You know what I mean? She is enough. You don't need two or three women. You know? She's fantastic. I appreciate you, honey. I love being married to her. Of course. She's got kind of a little sassy attitude, don't you think? She wasn't like that when I met her. She was very humble. But see what good work I've done on her over the last 28 years.
You made her proud.
Huh? Here we go, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellowers. This is so good. I don't get it. Why don't people want, you know, this is, listen to the wording of this, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise. What, by the way, you know what that is?
Righteousness.
It's righteousness in Christ by blessing a Jew. No, by the gospel. That's different than getting it by blessing a Jew. Amen? Listen, this mystery, you don't have to go find a Jew and bless them. God's blessing you by you hearing the gospel and receiving it. He wants, listen, He's done everything that could possibly... Thank you, Roxy. He wants everybody who hears my voice to trust the Lord. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, why are people resistant? Well, a lot of it is the gook and the garbage that they brought to the table before they get here. You know, and they've got to weed through all that and filter it out. You guys have come to the realization you guys weren't going to make it. That's why you believe. But the ones that have been stuck in it for years and years, you know, and really Miss Carrie's an example, and Roman, who've been doing this for years and years, it was a lot bigger deal. Do y'all understand? And they knew that they were having struggles just like you were having. We all know, who doesn't know that we're having struggles? I mean, we're all struggling. And it stinks. I hate it. You know what? If I could live a sinless life, I would. I hate the filth of sin. I mean, honestly, what is it that's so fantastic? Really, I mean, I want you to think about it for a minute. About drinking booze. First one, you're a little relaxed. And then the next time you're around the toilet bowl puking your guts out. How many here has been on the bowl and shooting rim shots from the edge? I have. And you know what? I didn't find anything pleasurable about it. I'm sitting there puking my guts out at 15, drunk as a skunk. Rebellious. Oh, that's attractive. I wish I had a videotape. I'd just watch it all the time. That must have been so much fun. I had so much fun that time. Really. And I thought about premarital sex. You know, that's kind of a strange subject. Think about it for just a minute. If you're out having sex and the person you're having sex with isn't going to be your husband or wife, then you're having sex with someone else's husband or wife. That's really attractive. I can just see how beautiful that is. I hate sin. You know, the problem is I'm trapped in it. I'm trapped in it. And you know, when I try to do good, the Bible says evil is present with me. You ever thought about that? Try to do the best you can, and crap comes up. And I'm like, where did that come from? There ain't anything pleasurable about sin. Sin's great for a season, the Bible says. Ever been seen an alcoholic parent that beat the crap out of their kids? Sexually abused their daughters? What's attractive about that? These people that think I teach that you ought to go out and sin, they have no clue. If I could quit sinning, I would. That's a fact I would. But I can't. I was born onto sin. If it wasn't for the grace of God and that mystery right there, there'd be no hope for me. Not one dab of it. It's amazing. Look in Romans chapter 11. It really does amaze me how people act or treat what we say. Almost. And you know what, guys? That's why you've got to watch your testimony around these people. It's important. Romans chapter 11, y'all there? Well, I don't know where I want to go. It didn't look right. Oh, yeah. 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved of the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Wherefore, ye in time past have not believed God, but now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Whose unbelief? Israel's. And they hung them upon the tree. Even so have... I'm sorry. It's really quite amazing. The greatest thing, I do a microscope and my blood looks good. I still can't get it right. It's funny. It goes to show you can do all that you think you know you can do, and you still, everything's in the hands and the palms of God. Even, I can't do it. Even so, have these also now believed that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. And by the way, why would God save a Jew today? Because He's given mercy to you. He can give mercy to you, He can give it to a Jew. That's the whole point. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Wow. It's not through you blessing Israel. You know, it's not through you blessing Israel. You believe in the gospel, guys. Now look, if you will, in Isaiah 60. First, we hinted to earlier, I think Bob mentioned it. Go to Isaiah 60, but the first part of the verse. Look at this. This is so incredible. The prophecy, this is the prophecy back over here, right? This is prophecy concerning Israel. Can I have a cough drop? Oh, sorry about that. You know what Mrs. Carey's worried about? I'm going to die downstairs. Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to have to carry me up the stairs. Then I remind her there's a side door down there. That was funny. You know, you have to, you know, kind of hit it kind of subtle, you know. It's a lot more fun. What are you doing, Rosita? Are you looking for me?
Yeah.
Well, help.
Here, got it.
I shouldn't try to catch cough drops at 50 degrees.
I'm 50 something. It's all
the same. I love you too, honey. I'm a working man. That's a fact. You know, she walked into my store and wanted change. And I thought she meant like life change. She just wanted to change her bus, go to the health food store. So I asked her out. She said, well, I don't date people that don't go to my church. So I went. And I listened to Brother Moore preach. And buddy, that man, he could preach. And buddy, I got a conviction that first night lasted for 2 months straight. I knew I was lost every day I got there. And she would only date me at church. And I tried to kiss her. She wouldn't kiss. I smoked at the time. She popped those cigarettes and said, I don't think somebody else smoked. Had to get with that. And 24th of August, 1983, I got saved. Greatest day of my life. And I thank God for a godly woman that could lead a man as sorry and as lousy as I am to the Lord. It's amazing. Verse 3. And the Gentile shall come to thy light, and the king to the brightness of thy rising. See, it was through Israel's rising of this kingdom that was going to attract who? The Gentiles. They go, hey, that's a good deal. We want to go with you. We've heard God's with you. Look at Zechariah. If you can't find Zechariah, go to Matthew, back up two books, you'll find it. Go to Zechariah 8. Thank you for the cough drop, that did help. Yeah, I told you. And many people and strong nations, that's Gentiles, shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men, the number 10 has to do with the Gentiles. 10 is the number of the Gentiles. 12 is the number of Israel. Shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. You see that? Make no mistake. Their only way to get to God was through who? Through the Jews. Man, that ain't true of you guys. We can sit there and pray right now before God the Father and He'll hear us. I don't have to go find some Jew and bless him and on and on. There is a ton of difference between the prophecy program and the mystery program. There's no way you can get that confused. Say, well, the whole Bible is written to us. Then why don't you commit the blood sacrifices? Well, something changed. Well, God changed another program. That was absolutely a mystery. Notice this. And this will be the last thing we'll deal with. In the mystery program, nations are not even the concern. Under the body truth, Go to Romans chapter 10. I hope you've enjoyed tonight.
Huh? I said we need to give you a hand.
I'm a piece of crap. But I am saved and I'm going to heaven when it comes, baby. He said amen. See, my wife knows me.
Oh, was that her?
I don't know.
Was it her?
She's writing love notes. I can't read that one. That one is kind of hot. not to be embarrassed, or anything, but I'm gonna have to cover that one up. Romans chapter 10. They enjoyed Renee Fikes. Appreciate you watching, Renee. Romans chapter 10. Verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice it isn't whoever, what nation bless what nation. No way, that's different. That's different. And look, if you will, in Isaiah 2. We're going to have to use these old pages up some. Isaiah 2. Notice it's not whosoever. Notice the terminology here is nations. Verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You know what? The Gentile nations are saved as nations. But you know what in the body? It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You want to be saved? You want to settle the matter? This is what you do. Give up. Quit trying to save yourself. Get in your mind that if what he did at that cross was not enough. Listen to me very carefully on the internet. If that cross is not enough, you're going to bust hell wide open. And it reminds me, one of the great orators of our faith described it as this, that there's this cliff. And on that cliff there's this rope. And that rope has a length of time. And that length of time is your life. And everybody starts at the top of the rope, hanging on. But somewhere they're going to get down to the end. And down here there's 500 feet of jaggedy rocks and you will die. Everybody who's ever been on the rope has died. And so the message of grace is, hey, you can't trust that. Doesn't matter how good you are. So you pull yourself up a foot every now and then. You're sliding down constantly. And so the angel of the Lord comes along and says, well, buddy, you know, if you'll just let go and you're hanging onto that rope, if you'll just let go, I'll save you. And you go, but if I let go, I'm going to die. He said, no, I'm telling you that I've paid for your sins. You just listen to me. If you will let go of that rope. And so salvation is the moment, listen to me, that you quit trusting yourself and you let go of the rope. And you say, Lord, if you don't save me, I'll just die and bust hell wide open because I deserve it. I'm believing you right now. And you're in a free fall. But you're not worried because all of a sudden you know that you put your trust in the finished work of Calvary's cross. And And it doesn't matter who you are, or where you are, or where you've been, or what your lifestyle has been. It doesn't matter if you've been religious for your whole life or you've been no religion at all. God's interested in saving you. And God's interested in doing that through the finished work of His Son at Calvary's cross. And all you have to do is know whom you've trusted. And so I wrote the song. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't He gracious and nice? That all you got to do is believe. You know, what's funny about that song is I wrote it the day I got saved. And all of a sudden I got it. It wasn't anything about me. It's about what I believe. You're saved by faith. And you're not even saved by your faith. You're saved by the faith of Christ. And what was that going to change the fact of what He did 2,000 years ago? Nothing is going to change in that fact. And so on the 24th of August, I trusted the Lord. I gave up. I quit faking it. I was nervous every time I came to class. I'm just telling you. I was under conviction the whole time. And you know what? When you're talking to your parents and your friends and your relatives, they're nervous too. And listen, you got to keep chopping at them. Because until they get it, listen. Until they get it, it's up to you. And you have to live a life in a way that they will get it. And you have to keep dragging on the scriptures and keep pounding them with it. But you know what? Nobody knows them but you. I promise you, I didn't know. I bet most of them are using a concordance trying to look up a few verses they get on words. They didn't know them. Don't give up on them. Just keep preaching the gospel. You know what? Anybody can trust the Lord. That is true. So, I'm done. That's all there is to that.